angry with someone that they have a motive or they have a desire to kill somebody, I mean, that you would think, man, they're really angry. And you would think it would be more because of an action, not so much words. But he knows these Pharisees' hearts. And yes, they do finally kill him, by the way. But they are the instrument to kill him. But we know that God's plan was for Jesus to come to die on the cross. So the Lord gave himself. But we do understand that was their intentions. He knew them because he created them and he knew their motive. So he gets right down the nitty gritty and he looks at them and says, you know why you're mad? Because you don't like the truth. You know what I've learned in this day? You know why most people get mad? Do you know why most people get mad? Do you know why a lot of people get mad in church or even out in the world? Do you know why a lot of people get mad and get so angry towards someone? Because they don't like the truth. You know what? I've learned something about truth. It's hard to swallow. I've never liked when my wife has come to me and dropped a truth bomb on me. And what I mean by that is she's right and I'm wrong. Not because she says I'm right and I say I'm wrong, or she says I'm wrong, just but no, it's because God gives us truth. And when we are not lining up with truth, we're always wrong. But you know what? We like our way. We like to do it our way. These Pharisees wanted to do it their way, but God, right in their face, was saying to them that the reason that you want to kill me is not because I've hurt you, not because I've done something to you or your family. He said, you want to simply kill me because I have given you truth and you do not like it. So as we begin this message this morning, we've got to really go back to the beginning of the chapter. And let me just summarize it for you. Here's what's amazing. We'll take a moment and consider the context of this passage. Why is he speaking so rough and so straightforward with these Pharisees? Because these are the same people that in the beginning of chapter 8, they bring an adulterous woman in front of Jesus. They bring a woman that is caught in the very act of a sinful act. There's no getting away from it. She was guilty. And they bring her in front of Jesus. And by the way, Jesus knew their hearts. And Jesus knew that as they were bringing this adulterous woman before Jesus, and they were bringing her to condemn her, they wanted to see how Jesus would respond. So here's what's amazing to me. They were more concerned about Jesus' response than this woman. Now, I want you to think about that. Sin blinds. Clearly, her actions were sinful. Jesus never condoned her sin. I heard Brother Market make a statement today. A wise, mature Christian understands that we don't sit in a place of authority over people and brag because we think they're better than them. By the grace of God, this adulterous woman could be me or you. Because it's in all of us. So Jesus is not condoning her sin, but here's what's amazing. He loves her. He loves her. Even though she has sinned, he's concerned about her. The Pharisees are only concerned about, we're going to catch Jesus here. We're going to get him. We're going to get him here. We're going to have something to get him on. So that's the kind of people he's dealing with. And he knows it better than anybody because he knows their hearts. By the way, here's something that's challenging. He knows yours too. He knows mine too. So Jesus goes on in this passage. We know how he responds to this adulterous woman. He stoops down on the ground. He writes something on the ground. The Bible does not reveal to us what he wrote. I have a personal opinion on what I think he wrote. Then he wrote down, he stooped down, he wrote again. And the conviction was so thick there, those people had done picked up stones. They were going to throw these stones and kill this woman because the law said she demanded to be killed. And Jesus looked up and said, any of you without the first sin, you know, cast your first stone. Conviction was thick in their church. You know what they did? They kind of just, can I get out of here without anybody seeing me? Jesus got them right to the heart. And they left. Now, precious scene. this guilty woman now is facing Jesus just personally. And you read the account of how he deals with this woman. I want to tell you, that's who I want to be like. I want to be like Jesus. So he's dealing with these people. He goes on to reveal in this chapter, he's the light of the world. He rebukes the Pharisees for their unbelief, and he's rebuking them because they reject the truth. He's trying to help them. Now, this leads us to the passage that we just read. Jesus is well aware of their condition, of their heart. He understands, he knows their hearts, their lack of faith, their refusal to embrace what he's teaching is very evident to him. And he realizes something about these Pharisees. They are in bondage. And I've learned something. People that refuse God's word are in bondage. So here's the message. Freedom or bondage? Freedom or bondage? We see a lot here. We see that many refuse to embrace the truth. Sin is a great taskmaster. And when I say great, I mean not in great as it's good. It is a terrible taskmaster. But when I say great, it's very consuming. Jesus Christ is the only means to be liberated from bondage. So let me give you a few principles this morning that I pray that we will all apply to our hearts. Number one, the Lord Jesus speaks of a word here. He speaks of conversion. Look at verse 31. The Bible says this, in verse 31, the Bible says, "And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done?" Now the Bible says in verse 32, "The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him." So here you've got two different responses to truth. You have some that believe and praise the Lord. I'm glad there are a group of people, there are some people that are going to believe the truth. But we live in a day where there's also going to be many people that's going to reject the truth. And by the way, you seal your fate, you seal your way, you seal your life when you reject truth, or if you believe truth. Affects the way you live. I heard something this week that I can't get off my mind, and I love it. I've said it many times, but it was reaffirmed in my life. I heard someone say, "There's a better way." And I want to say to all of you, I praise God this morning. There's a better way. We don't have to live in bondage. You don't have to live in bondage. So this conversion, he speaks to those who have genuinely believed in Christ and they've experienced genuine salvation. They've experienced a genuine relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the identification that he brings out here. In verse 31, the Bible says some believed. And then he says, "If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed." So you say, "Well, Pastor, how do you know someone believes or someone is a disciple of the Lord?" Well, I believe one of the identifying marks, a birthmark of someone that's believed, is someone that is going to believe and know the truth. The Bible says they will continue in my word. In other words, he's saying here, some believed, some didn't believe. But while some did not believe, Jesus is not speaking of the path or conditions of salvation here. He's rather talking about the fruit that genuinely follows after somebody gets saved. So what's that mean? Disciples of Christ, those who embrace the Lord, we know the Lord is our Savior. We seek to follow Him. We want to follow Him. We want to continue in His Word. We should literally dwell and abide in Him. That ought to be a mark of someone that you say, well, how do you know he's a Christian? Well, I can't look in everyone's heart and I don't know. I can say, well, I believe that person said, I believe that person said, but ultimately I really don't know. But the Bible says that there are some identification. If someone is a disciple, they know the Lord, then they at least believe the Word of God. And they want to continue in that word. And so when we think about this, they're not just hearers of the word. They're not just hearers of the word. That word means something. In other words, Laura and I was speaking all week this week. We went back through our life. When did we really get help? I was raised in a Christian home. I heard the word of God from the time I was a baby until I was 21. Why didn't it click? Why didn't anything? It was there. It was available to me. I heard it, but you know why it didn't click? Because I wasn't interested in it. Well, a Christian gets interested in it. They want to know more about what does God say than the world say. There is an identification there. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean that we're not going to fail. Doesn't mean that we're not going to sin. But I want to know what God says in 2020. I want to know. I know there's answers to everything I'm going to deal in life. I'm going to find that answer or that principle in the Word of God. So the identification of a disciple, someone that's saved, they're marked by wanting to continue in the Word of God. We see it here. But then I want you to notice the inclination. Look at verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now that's what everybody wants, right? And you shall know the truth. Jesus confirms here that a disciple, someone that knows the Lord, they know the truth. They want to incline to the truth. In other words, we live in a world where truth is fluid. In other words, we live in a society, and I hear it all the time. I hear people rationalize all the time. Here's what I've heard people say. Well, it's okay for me to do that because this is what happened to me. Wait a minute. Truth's still truth. Just because you was treated a certain way does not give you the right to break truth. You're still going to be accountable for truth. I heard someone not long ago say, well, I'll tell you right now, even if I did do it, it's okay because of what it was done for me. No, look at me. It's still wrong. It doesn't change truth. And as a Christian, I'm more concerned about truth than my feelings. Somebody say amen right there. We live in such a world, well, I just don't feel. Wait a minute. It ain't about our feelings. It's about truth. We've gotten in this world. And by the way, that's one reason why I hate platforms. Everybody wants to talk about their feelings. I want to hear about truth. Truth. Truth sets us free. Truth sets me free. By the way, truth sets you free. You think I feel saved every day? Do you feel saved every day? Do you have to go through, I think even Brother Market said earlier today, he said, look, there's all of us that go and is enveloped in darkness at times. There's some days that are darker than others. And if I went on my feelings, I can promise you I don't feel like praising the Lord. But because I trust truth more than I do my feelings, I'm set free. Oh my, listen to me, children. The answer is right there. And I would just say to you this morning, if we didn't have this, I'm going to tell y'all right now, we're in a mess. I can tell y'all, y'all go out and scrap and scramble around. Y'all try anything you can because, look, Katie barred the door. Nobody has peace. Nobody can get free. Y'all just do everything you can. Look, we don't live like that. We are inclined. We know the truth works. You say, Pastor, you're so passionate when you preach. You're so convincing. You know why? Because I'm convinced. I'm not some little young whippersnapper anymore. Someone say, well, son, here's what you say, and here's what you do, and this is what you're supposed to do. If you're going to be one of us, you got to talk like this. No, I'm living in a day that I'm 46, and I promise you this. Things have failed me. People have failed me. But Jesus has never failed me. You ask me how I know He's real. He's real because He lives in my heart. We live in a world where truth is considered to be fluid. In other words, many declare there's no such thing as absolute truth. Well, we incline, sorry, sir, you have your opinion, but truth is absolute truth. Many contend that truth can and does change. Thankfully, we are not inclined to embrace that philosophy. We believe truth is absolute and definite, and all God's people said. Jesus does not imply, though, here that believers will never make a mistake. Listen to me now. You're going to fail. We have sinful desires. I want you to know something, though. God, Jesus Christ, gives us the victory. So I want to say to you, we have received truth, and we are able to discern truth. See the inclination, we see the independence. Look at verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? That's what everybody wants, right? Who wants to be bound up? Who wants to be fettered? Who wants to be in a prison cell? Who wants to be bound up? Who wants to be a servant? Well, ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. So many of the Pharisees continue to embrace the law. Those apart from Christ, and if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, please excuse me. I say this with all love and all compassion that I possibly can, but you're still in bondage. Because Jesus is the only one that can set men free from their sin. And I want you to notice, here's the thing. Those apart from Christ remain in bondage to sin, and their pursuit of truth through the other ways that man gives only gives more bondage to them. It only increases their bondage. Here's what I want to say to you. Do you know what's so hard? I'm coming down, Brother Chris. Y'all know what's so hard? As a mom, a dad, as a pastor, and all of us can relate here. You know what's so hard? You know what really strikes us at the heart? How many of you know that there's answers? You know there's a fix. You know there's a remedy. Could you imagine your son getting sick and you know that the remedy is there for him to take the remedy, but he just refuses to take the remedy? Let's say that Landon gets a strep throat. By the way, if he doesn't get treated for that, more than likely it would turn into scarlet fever, and he would die of a bacterial infection. So you have to know you get a remedy. But wouldn't it be awful? Wouldn't it be heinous? Wouldn't it be awful neglecting? And I know y'all would never do that. But if you knew that he had a problem and you knew there was a remedy, you say, you know what? No, I'm just not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that because I think there's a better way. The effects of that would be horrific. Now, we understand that in a physical way when someone gets sick, but let me remind all of us here, sin makes us all sick. And you know what's hard as a dad, as a mom, as a pastor, as a Sunday school, is when the answer is right there. The remedy is right there. It's attainable. It can be done. It can be put in their life, and you refuse to do it. See, the Bible says here in this passage that the Lord Jesus is the only victor over sin. He sets us free. What's sad is I'm watching a society, they're trying everything. I've been in wards and hospitals where there have been very violent drug addicts. They are constrained in rooms. They're constrained. Some are even constrained to a bed. They're bound. And here's what's amazing to me. You know what's put them there? The desire or a lust for a little pill. It's bound them up. I've seen those same people that we know and love that would steal, commit crimes, hurt their families because they're bound up to a pill that gives them a feeling. That's bondage, church. It's bondage. They're bound. I've talked to them. Here's what they say. We can't function. We can't live. 24 hours, within a 24-hour period of time, they might be okay, but within that 24 hours, their whole goal of life is they've got to get the fix. And they will do it in a way, they don't care who they hurt, they don't care how they lie, they don't care who they steal from. And I sit here with a broken heart because I know that Jesus Christ delivers from that. While they think that's their answer, no, Jesus is the answer. Their independence. Look, I remember my life. I was dominated by sin. I remember being bound up by the shackles of sin, feeling hopeless. Been a many days before I was 21. I felt hopeless. I was trying to obtain righteousness. I was trying to add up to some standard. I was trying to do all these things. But I want you to know something. Jesus set me free from my bondage. And He will set you free too. So Jesus speaks of conversion. Jesus speaks of captivity. Look at verse 34 here. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Now that's interesting. Jesus knew all did not enjoy the freedom that He gives. He was talking to men that did not understand what He was trying to say. And by the way, when you preach week in, week out, with the number of people that are either in this building or online, I have a feeling that I'm probably speaking to people that don't quite understand what we're trying to convey here, that there's a bondage in sin, but Jesus gives freedom of that sin. So let me give you a disclosure here. Look at verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." Now here's what's amazing. Jesus was speaking directly to the Pharisees, but we must understand that sin and the bondage that it brings is a universal problem. All are born in sin. We're all separated from God. We all inherit the Adamic nature due to our birth. Because of sin, we are at enmity with God and we're rebellious towards Him. None are exempt. The Bible says, for all have what? Sinned. Come short of the glory of God. But apart from a transformational relationship with Christ, we all will remain in sin. So let me quickly talk about depravity. Look at verse 34. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Now let's look at that a little bit about the servant. Think about this servant of sin. Talk about the depravity associated with sin. We need to clarify exactly what Jesus is referring to here in regard to sin. Those who commit sin are servants to sin. You're a servant to sin. In other words, you're bound by that master. The Lord Jesus says, "I will set you free." But what He's speaking of here is someone that knows the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been set free in sin. I want you to notice this verse is talking about a continual action. Now listen and listen well. This is what He's speaking of here. And I know Mr. Carter will shake his head because he and I have had this conversation on numerous occasions. Once you get saved, once you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I can promise you this, you will not enjoy living in sin any longer. You won't. He loves you too much to let you go. He will convict. He will challenge. He will speak to your heart. Why? Because He says to us in this passage, you will not continue in sin. I want you to understand, He reveals those who practice sin as servants. That's what He's speaking of here. He's speaking to those that are practicing sin. They're in sin and they're continuing in sin. You know what they are? Here's what the Lord calls them. Slaves. They're slaves to it. They're bound to it. They're bound. Can I say they are bound by the grip of sin? Their main goal in life is to please their fleshly desires, their human desires, the lust of the flesh. I want you to understand, people get into the place of where their sole desire is to only satisfy their earthly desires. Their lives are controlled and dictated by their sinful desires. Drug addict. You name it. You know, we look at it and we say, oh, we feel sorry for them. Well, we should. But we need to understand the root problem of that. By the way, let me help you all with this. It's not because his mom and dad did it. You know, I know men that was raised in a drunkard's home. They're not a drunk. I think we need to lead by example. There's no doubt about it. But what I'm saying to you is here is this. I want you to understand what this passage is talking about is sin brings that. Sin brings the bondage. So I say the depravity. Then look at the danger. And the servant abideth not in the house forever. Now that's interesting. Someone will say, I'll tell you right now, that means that they won't stay saved. That's not what that verse means. Now stay with me. Because they're not talking about saved people there anyway. The Lord's not talking to saved people. He's talking to Pharisees that have absolutely rejected truth. And he knows it. So what's he mean here? The servant referred to is who is one that is a slave to sin. So it conveys the danger of being a slave to sin. Because here's the amazing thing. First, there's an application regarding the very nature of a slave. Here it is. Very simple. You're not your own. Do you know a slave has no choices? You know who a slave's life is dictated by? Their master. So with that in mind, think about that a moment. If you're a slave to sin, that means you could be in one master's home tonight. But by the next day when you pillow your head, you could be in another home and you're not dwelling in the same home because the master has control over you. And it's the same when someone gets involved in sin and they continue to live in sin. They keep going down a slippery slope. Have you ever heard someone say, I never dreamed that it would ever go this far? I never thought I would be in this place. I never thought I would be in this position. But when you give yourself over to a servanthood of to the master of sin, who knows where you'll end up? It won't be in a house that you want to be in. I promise you that. You'll be shuffled from place to place, to thing, always trying to find something that fulfills. And I've got news for you today. Just trust Jesus. He satisfies. So sad. I see all these people. They're really genuinely trying to find happiness. They're around here trying everything. They go from one hog pen to the other. But see, when they start, it's a green field. Y'all stay with me. I mean, most of the time, nobody ever goes into a green field ever thinking that thing's going to turn into a hog pen. But you know what it always turns into? A hog pen. You know why? Because sin, God has never played hide and seek with us. Here's what He's always said. Sin brings joy. Is that what the Bible says? Sin brings joy. No, sin brings what? Death. Sin brings death. So death is bondage. And so I say, he's explaining to these folks that are right in front of him the danger of the way they're heading. Because see, this person that is a slave to sin, he's bouncing around from one house of bondage to another. And here's the sad thing. She never experiences true liberty and freedom. And that breaks my heart. So Jesus, here's where we want to get, right? We want to get to the conquest. We like winners, don't we? We like the good news. We've kind of presented some bad news here. We've talked about this depravity. We've talked about the danger. But praise God, let's talk about the conquest just a minute. We've considered much here, but Jesus, and everybody shout amen right here. Y'all like good news? But here's what's amazing. God never leaves us with bad news. He always helps us with good news. Here's what He says. He reveals us the way to obtain victory. Y'all like victory? How many of y'all like to win? I hope there's no man here teaching your child to lose. That's all right. And by the way, they ought to play their best, but even if they do lose, you need to teach them how to be good losers. It might have been outplayed, but that should motivate them to play harder the next time. It might make them to put in more effort to do it, but really, it's not about their skill. It should be about their character. Skill comes and goes. Character of a man. But we want victory, right? We want to win. Y'all want to win? How many of y'all want to stay in bondage? Y'all want the better way? I want the better way. I know the difference. Y'all know the difference? Well, let's look at it quickly. I'm going to close. Look at the person. Look at verse 35. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Does God lie? How many of y'all believe God lies? Is anybody? Would you raise your hand? How many of y'all believe He tells the truth? Well, then that would be our position. If we believe He's telling the truth, then how about we apply His truth to our heart and He will come through with His promise. It's interesting to note the source and the confidence for the Pharisees. They were depending on their association with Abraham. In other words, they're saying, no, we've never been in bondage. We're a seed of Abraham. You know what they were saying? Actually, they were saying, we're Jewish. You know what they were depending on? Their confidence was in who they were and what they've done. But Jesus wanted them to look at him as the Messiah rather than continuing to put their own trust and faith in themselves. And do you know what? And I really can speak to men here just a minute because I is one. You know what one of the troubles of men are? We think we've got all the answers to everything. And we like think, well, we're weak if we can't fix that. Well, you know what? I've learned at 46, there's a lot of things I can't fix. But you know what? That doesn't make me any less of a man. It just makes me dependent upon the one who can help me. And I've learned this. It's made me to become a stronger man because I know I can't, but he sure can. But these Pharisees were so full of pride. They were so full of themselves. And this truth still remains today. Humanly, we'll never enjoy spiritual victory without depending on the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot overcome sin apart from the Lord and His enabling power. We can't do it. I don't care how many leaves you turn over. I don't care how many programs you go to. Without Christ, you're failed to do. You will never get true victory over sin like He wants to give you victory over sin. So we see the power. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Here's what's amazing to me. Those people, those Pharisees, Brother Don, they want what He's saying. They're trying. They want to be free. Here's what's amazing. They're not listening to the very one. Everything He's telling them, the answer is right there in front of them, and they don't even get it. The one standing in front of them telling them, if you will trust me, you will be free indeed. The very thing they were working for, the very thing they were trying that never satisfied, that never gave them what they were longing for, they were still trying it, but the Lord was looking at them saying, but look, you will be free indeed with me. And here's what's amazing to me. When the Lord tells us, how about we just believe it? Look, our world desperately needs to embrace truth. Our society is seeking every means imaginable to find happiness and truth. They're everything. I mean, they're trying everything to get healing with God and thinking about their future. They look to self-helps. They look to all these programs. They look to the 12-step programs. They look to some type of community involving. And I want to just say this. This is, I think, very important that I need to say. It amazes me. And I know every once in a while we've got to get some help, but I'm just going to say this. More than likely, most children's problem is a behavioral problem. And I'm going to be honest with you, I would much rather go to God who created them than try to take some help from some man that never opens the book. But, oh, we're so enamored with psychologists today. We're so enamored with all this stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take him down here to the state. We're going to let the state help him. Look at me. You better let the state keep their cotton-picking hands and nose out of your home. Amen. They will mess them up. You say, well, Pastor, you're hard on the government. No, I'm hard on anybody that tries to help a family that doesn't know the creator of it. That is as foolish as I've ever seen, that we try to go get help from somebody that didn't create it. Truth answers everything. It sets us free. So our world is desperately looking everywhere. And I say all that to apply this. Christians, you need look no further than here. There's an answer for your child. There's an answer. You might have some behavioral issues with him. It's amazing if you and your husband will read the book of Proverbs, if you will read the instructions that God gives on how to handle a child. I promise you, it's here. You say, well, I'll tell you right now, we're struggling in our marriage. Listen to me. You did not create relationship. You did not create marriage. That originated with God. So before I go down here to some counselor, I'm going to go to the book, because I promise you, God has given my wife and I every instruction that will make us happily married if we will just do it. But here's the problem. I'm like you and you're like me. We sometimes just don't want to do it. There's the problem. And then we kind of scratch our head and say, well, I just don't know why we're in this mess. God's told us why we're in that mess. Truth sets us free. Here's the promise. The Pharisees never seem to be satisfied. We live in a society where I'm looking around. I don't see a lot of people satisfied. They're always looking for something else, looking for something else. They're always trying something else. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Here's the answer. Their work was never ending, and I'm seeing a society that people's work is never... I mean, we're trying everything. In homes, you know, we've been sold these little bill of goods. Well, I'll tell you what, y'all just need to have a hobby together. We told someone the other day, I'm just going to be honest with you, look, we could fall... Look, Laura and I, at the grace of God, we are happily married. I'm telling you all that. But it ain't without work. But I'm going to help everybody here just a second. I've heard people say, well, I tell you what, we just need to get a hobby together. Do y'all know that Laura and I don't have one thing in common? We don't. She hates to fish. And don't even talk about hunting. That is absolutely right at the depth of the deepest, darkest sin, because who in the world would want to go out there in 30-degree weather and stand up in a tree stand and... I'm going to share something with y'all. I hate walking through stores. Hate it. I can hunt all day in a tree stand, but when I go to a store and look, because my wife never buys, we just look. And I like beg her to buy this dress. She's like, I ain't paying that much for it. Why did we come in here? My feet's killing me. Y'all listen to me. I have a little bit of a road rage problem. I know y'all would never believe that. My wife has to constantly help me in a car. Honey, just praise the Lord. We're stuck in this traffic for an hour, but we get to spend time together. Well, I'd much rather spend it at home with you. Look here, we're different. We're different. We're different. We are so different. Kaylee, are we different? So what makes it work? Jesus. He keeps His word. And see, here's the amazing thing. She knows Him and I know Him. He's in my heart and He's in her heart. And there's times I don't feel like forgiving my wife. And there's times, no doubt, she don't feel like forgiving me. But see, when we yield to the Spirit of God in truth, He will always yield us to do right, and that's to forgive. That's to love with an unconditional love. Something else I've learned with the aid of the Holy Spirit. You know, I used to be a selfish husband. I'm still selfish. But I've learned something. As I've yielded to truth, I haven't liked it, but as I've yielded to truth, I've learned something. I've even gotten freed up in our marriage. So what I'm saying to you is, God's word works. His truth works. Try it. Try it. We had a chili cook-off last night. Proof's in the pudding. We had three judges. They picked the first, second, third winner. And if you'd go up to them judges, say, I'll just tell you right now, those three right there just hit me right. They hit, and here's what one of them said, just go over and try them. Well, I tried several. They were all good. Somebody say amen. But how many of y'all don't think you'd like deer? Venison. How many of you have never ate venison? Would you raise your hand? You've never ate it? Wow, a bunch of people's ate it. Or hasn't ate it. You have not ate it. Would you raise your hand? Okay. How many of you do not think you would like it? Would you raise your hand? Okay. Well, all I'm going to say to you is this. Try it. But let somebody knows who to fix, how to fix it, do it. But it's unfair to say, I don't like it. How do you know? Now, you might not want to try it, and that's fine. That's your choice, because you might not want. You know, I know we have one particular gentleman here. It's always on me for killing these pretty little deer. He's always on me for killing these pretty little deer and how awful that is. But I say to this same man has left so many little, precious little calves without a mom. This same man that's on me all the time for killing these pretty little deers, he's left more little calves, mommyless and daddyless, than you can shake a stick at, because he eats beef every day. And you ask him, well, why? Have you tried it? I said, yeah, I've tried it. You know why? Because the proof's in the pudding for him. He likes it. So it's amazing to me for someone to say, oh, I don't think Jesus will work. Yeah, have you tried him? Have you tried his word? I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll set you free. And I want to just say this as I close. What a blessing it is that I'm not trying to work my way to heaven. What a blessing. I'm glad that I'm in Christ. Christ is in me, and He has saved me from my old sin. So listen to me, and I'm going to close. Please today know that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't leave this building. We will have someone take the Bible. They will show you from the Word of God how to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I promise you, everything you've longed for, He will supply it. He will set you free. And all God's people said, how many of y'all believe the proof's in the pudding? He will set us free. If you're struggling in sin, you're making poor decisions, you need to ask the Lord to help you. Let Him help you. Let Him listen to His Word. Let His conviction be real to you. Say yes to Him. Just say yes. Yield to truth. It will always set you free. Let's stand on our feet this morning. I also want to open up the church this morning. If you've been attending this church, you really believe this is where the Lord wants you to come and put your life and influence in this church, I want you to come, and my wife will meet you up here, and we'll bring you in for church membership today, if that's what the Lord has led you to do. But I want to speak just a moment. If you're here this morning and you do not know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, listen to me. You do not have to live in bondage any longer. Jesus Christ will set you free. Come, we'll have someone take the Bible. They'll show you from the Bible how to be saved, how to meet Jesus. And maybe there's someone here today who say, you know what, I just want to come down to an old-fashioned altar. I want to pray. I want to ask the Lord to help me not to yield to sinful desires, but to yield to truth. It works. As they begin to play, maybe with head bowed, eyes closed, if the Lord has dealt with you, would you come? Would you come this morning? Allow the Lord to have His way in your life. The wonderful thing about the Christian life is it's a life of submission. We submit to the Lord. We yield to Him. We yield to truth. He helps us. I'm thankful that He does. His way is always right. I promise you. I told the group last night that was at the testimony service, I like who we are. I love our church family. I love our church family.